I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think I've got an interesting show in store for you coming your way, and over the next hour or so, we're going to be getting into some extraterrestrial heritage. We're going to be getting into reality creation. We're going to be talking a little bit about the reincarnation system. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner, which is where we have a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition, kind of sets the tone for the rest of the evening. And if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Hari
Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, which are still in operation today, even though Swamiji passed on in 2002. He was one of my major spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd also at this time like to treat the listening audience, especially new listeners, to another short clip, a meditation actually, that's extraterrestrial in nature. It was actually given by Bashar, that's B-A-S-H-A-R, from the Esasani civilization at that time. They're now called the Shekhani because their civilization's moved up a dimension. However, this particular meditation is designed to expand consciousness. It's an extraterrestrial meditation. And by the way, I was the chairperson for the group that created the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act, working with Daryl Anka and Bashar, and actually got permission to use my version of this XYZ extraterrestrial meditation from Daryl Anka to use at workshops. So I'm going to consider tonight a workshop. So a special treat for our listeners, and I hope the guys in the booth are staying with me and are going to play now the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now, out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front, and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is, and as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse, you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
Yes, that was the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation designed to expand the consciousness. Now I'd like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And for our new listeners, you should also be aware that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from big pharma and mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. I'd like to also now give just a quick plug for my latest book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It's available in various places, Amazon, Kindle Books, Barnes & Noble. But the easiest way I find is go to my website at etyoga.com and just go to the shop page, and it's there for $9.95. And I also designed two other ebooks that are available at the site, one called Maximizing Your Spiritual Growth, and the other is Attaining Perfect Health for the Spiritual Seeker. And combining with the book and the two ebooks for about $50, you can come up with all the information that I think is relevant related to ET yoga and spirituality. So much appreciate your support in purchasing those items from the website at etyoga.com. And also, you can also feel free to email me at any time to ask questions concerning concepts, ideas, techniques that I present on the ET Yoga program. You can contact me at paperfungo, that's PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And tonight I'd like to clarify a couple of concepts that have come up about three times for me this week. One of them is this whole idea about the word yoga. Of course, in the West, most people have the idea that yoga is the hatha yoga, or a branch of yoga that deals with postures and asanas, as being, you know, what yoga is all about. When the truth is that on this program, the word yoga is meant and defined as union of you and your higher self. And as Sri Swami Satchidananda's system of integral yoga, he taught six different branches of yoga, and clearly the goal of yoga is self-realization. So that's the real yoga. It's not just about postures and pranayams, but it's about self-realization. And connected with this whole idea of self-realization, if someone was to ask me, well, how could you, like, give an analogous situation in real life that would equate to the concept of being self-realized? And I would say this: we have been created with a 12-strand, 12-chakra system. If you have all your 12 chakras activated and fully operational and connected with your 12 strands of DNA, to me, that would be the same as being self-realized. And this is why I would like to connect our listening audience with Solara on Ra. That's S-O-L-A-R-A on A-N Ra, R-A, Solara on Ra. She's a Pleiadian, and on YouTube right now is a really cool meditation called 13 Chakra Activation, and I highly recommend you check that out. I find she's got some really beautiful other videos, too, on YouTube. That, I believe, is her latest, and currently doing that one. It's one that you actually do for 7 nights in a row. And I'd like to really highly recommend that you check that out. Now, relating to tonight's program, I wanted to get into a little bit of our extraterrestrial heritage and history, and also try to give you kind of the ET yoga perspective on, I guess, Anunnaki and the Alpha Draconians. I'm going to start off with a bit of a quote from channeling by Sal Rochelle of the Founders. And it goes like this: the universe you find yourselves in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God. This point of light was contained within a greater point of light, which was contained within a greater point, etc., into infinity. There's an aspect of the Godhead that has always existed and that expands and contracts an infinite number of times. When you directly experience these levels, you realize that this energy was never created and will never end. It just is. The original souls were the founders. They were the original sparks of light that were showered out from the infinite source during expansion. Your galaxy, the one you call the Milky Way, was seated in several quadrants. Your quadrant began in what you call the Lyra Vega region. It is here that the first seventh density forms were manifested. And as I understand it, after the sixth density, life forms are non-physical. And this information has also been confirmed by many others, including the book by Billy Meyer, UFO from the Pleiades, when he is discussing Earth history with Simjazi. And I find that to be fairly relevant information. That also, in that channeling, was stated that there have been four major civilizations on Earth: Pangaea, Lemuria, Atlantis, and the present. And according to the founders, the humanoid form was seeded on Earth about 100 million years ago, and they were seventh density beings. Now, since that time, and that's according to Andromedan information, 22 different extraterrestrial species helped to create a humanoid with the 12 chakra system. And, of course, we all hear a lot about the reptilians and Anunnaki, especially in New Age, creating the modern version of humanity. And I'm going to give a little perspective on that, because the reptilians created a great upheaval throughout the universe that lasted for millions of our solar years. And with the Earth being affected about 300,000 years ago, when the so-called Lizzies invaded this reality and fought with those of the light and won the battle engaged throughout the solar system. Tremendous destruction was created, and the tyrannical owners took over this planet. In the Bible, they were called the Nephilim. On the cuneiform tablets of ancient Sumeria, they are called the Anunnaki. They became the gods of the simple-minded, dominant species of Earth at that time. In fact, they did become creator gods of a sort because they were great master geneticists, and they genetically disassembled and rearranged the DNA of the bipedal arthropods that were left after the destruction. And the original 12 strands of DNA was reduced to the double helical DNA that is found to this day. And a breeding plan was established with the new species that was created. They knew what they were doing and needed workers of a low level of intelligence to work their mines in what is now Southeast Africa. And you'll also note that everybody's DNA has a little bit of black DNA in it because this is where we were seated in Southeast Africa. And they were mining gold from this planet for all its higher properties they could, such as the transmutation from one reality to another and longevity. And the big secret that they kept from those they created was that what they were doing mining gold wasn't for the money, because it's when you melt the gold down, you create the white powder. That's the monatomic elements. And their civilization was losing its longevity. And they came up with the idea of this melting the gold down to create the monatomics. It got them back to where they were. And this is their big secret of longevity. I mean, they live for thousands and thousands of years. That's their lifespans. And the rearrangement of the DNA and what the Pleiadians call the light-encoded filaments also kept the new species locked in fear, which was cultivated by the creator gods and was utilized to broadcast out to other worlds that were under their control. They had the technology to be able to broadcast the energy of fear, which they thrive upon, to other areas of the universe. And they have destroyed entire planets just to project the collective fear and terror of the occupants to other worlds that they continue to manage and control and manipulate. And, of course, the Pleiadians have said that this is the reason why we only use about 5 to 10% of our brains, is because the 12-stranded DNA had been unplugged. And in Alex Collier's terms, it's kind of like we still have all our DNA, but we're kind of like a hairdryer that's been unplugged. And these dark reptilians or Dracos have been, and I'm going to now talk about the Alpha Draconians, have been on our planet and Earth for eons. And they have perfected the art of recycling themselves lifetime after lifetime into the same human families, always avoiding the light between lifetimes and gathering more power unto themselves. And they've always had their own secret elite clubs and organizations. They have a very satanic belief system. And they are known as the Illuminati. They're known as Satanists. They're known as devil worshippers, the Cabal, the Khazarian Mafia, Zionists, banksters, the dark side, and the New World Order. So they've been called lots of different things. And the bottom line now is that apparently the Galactic Federation has them trapped on the Earth with no way off. So this solar system's been locked down, and nobody's coming in or out at the moment. So just to kind of give an update on that. And how the Greys fit into this picture is the Greys have kind of been gophers for the Alpha Draconians and Anunnaki. At the highest level, the control of this planet is not human, okay? It's Alpha Draconian and Anunnaki. Has been for a long, long time. And the Greys were involved with the abductions that a lot of people don't seem to know about or don't want to know about, but millions of people have been taken off on craft and the memories wiped after. And this was all in a process to do with the trade of that was made with government. They allowed the abductions for trading for technology. And the purpose for from the Greys' point of view was to develop a hybrid species because their species was just about over. I think there were only about 2,500 of the actual Greys that are still alive. The rest are actually clones. And according to Bashar, the Greys are actually more interdimensional than extraterrestrial. They're actually a future version of humans that went down the technological road, which we are now have entered. We are currently going down the technological road as well. And their technology far exceeded their hearts. They ended up losing their ability to reproduce. And ended up in their current state of affairs. I guess what we now have is a situation where a number of Earth mothers have babies that are the cross between gray and human. And I guess their plan would be that this would be the next upgrade for humanity. So I just wanted to kind of give a perspective on the extraterrestrial situation. And I'd also like to now move on to the topic of reality creation. Because we've talked a number of times in ET Yoga, and I like about this subject. And especially for new listeners to kind of get caught up with it's very difficult to have everybody on the same page when the listening audience is so varied and enters the program at different stages of information. And I'd like to state that, in my personal opinion, the first concept related to reality creation actually occurs from the time we're born till we're 6 or 7 years old, where we're downloading belief systems from our original caregivers. And the reason that I call this the first stage of reality creation is because what you realize, the more you become self-empowered, the more you learn about how the universe works, you realize that it's our thoughts, our beliefs, our emotions, our definitions that create the outer reality that we experience. And this is the big demarcation line, by the way, between third-dimensional existence and the readiness to experience the fourth and fifth-dimensional reality. Because people that are stuck in third-dimensional reality cannot understand that concept. To them, everything is happening at random. They're not responsible for anything. In fact, I guess I'm going to spend a little bit of time here talking about this word responsibility, because to me it's a big one. It fits in several ways. Number one is the concepts of blame, complaint, and justification are all victimhood mentality. So anytime you find yourself blaming others, blaming anything, immediately you create yourself as a victim. And it's not, I guess the idea here is that we need to take 100% responsibility for what we experience in life. And in point of fact, we're so far from 100% as a species that it's just a joke. I mean, I'm looking around and what I see is that people, man, they avoid responsibility as much as possible. I mean, doctors are responsible for your health, even though they're not. They don't do anything very little in the area of preventive or in actual curing or in actually finding out the reasons why you created these conditions. But they're responsible for your health. Your educational system is responsible for your child's education. Your church is responsible for your religious beliefs. Everywhere you turn around, somebody else is responsible, like to the point where it's just gotten ridiculous. I mean, and I talk to so many, even people in the medical field, where all people want is the magic pill. They don't want to do any work for anything. They just want a quick fix, like the fast food business. Get that garbage in your system that's not even food, it's filler. Doesn't even break down a lot of this fast food. I've kept French fries for 3 years. They didn't break down at all. Apparently the hamburgers do the same. So, if, you know, you want to feed your kids that kind of stuff, well, it's your choice. But to my way of thinking, that's not anything that bread doesn't break down, doesn't go moldy. I mean, it's that's not food. It's filler. It's plastic. I don't know what you call it. But it's, to me, it's not food, and it's certainly not nutritious. And so anyway, this whole concept about responsibility, and then it came up this week at a really interesting point that I heard on another program related to the fact that all the pollution in the oceans, and that Alex Collier had stated that the ETs have the technology to clear up the oceans. That was Simon Parks, actually. And Simon Parks made the comment that, well, we actually, we even have that technology right now on the Earth. We have the technology to clean it up. But the those in power, the ETs in power, they don't want to share that technology at the moment. So that's kind of where that stands. And further, the question was raised, well, why don't the positive ETs just come down and clean it all up? And I liked what the answer was, and it was kind of related to like a child leaving their room in a mess. And if the parents' kids keep tidying it up for them, like, do they ever learn to be responsible, or do they, or you know, what's accomplished by cleaning up the room for somebody? They're just going to make the mess again. So it's kind of analogous to what humans need to do. I mean, after this latest nuclear meltdown in Fukushima, I mean, it should be obvious to everybody living on the planet that nuclear power is not worth the risk. But I guess because this is not in the mainstream news, we don't hear about the real effects of Fukushima. We're not hearing about the real levels of radiation that are on in America as we speak. We're not hearing about all the die-off of the sea life in the ocean. We're not hearing about the radiation levels and how they've increased to the point where they keep raising the levels of acceptability that used to be evacuation levels that were surpassed like multiple times ago, just to I guess not bring it up as a topic, because this is a part and parcel of somebody else's program. And so the bottom line here is that Responsibility, to me, means that, you know, we the positive ETs are giving us a chance to make some changes here because, again, the argument comes up that you've got this very small percentage of ETs running a population of like 7 billion people. And even from the some ET point of view, some ETs don't want to assist us in certain ways because they believe that, well, if that a small number of people can control 7 billion, then they must want it. An interesting argument and perspective. And clearly there's the arguments from the other side, too, because it's been a very clever manipulation over a long time. There's been lots of brainwashing involved. There's been lots of, no doubt, illegal, even on a galactic scale, manipulation of the population on this planet. However, despite all that, we still need to start taking more responsibility. And as Bashar would say, when it comes to things that are happening in our lives, we need to take 100% responsibility. It doesn't mean we're to blame either. That's just another form of victimhood. What it means is responsibility means we have the ability to respond. And that's going to lead me into what I classify the first level of reality creation, which is that as a maturing adult, you take a look at some of these beliefs that have we've accumulated from our initial caregivers, and many of them are very positive things. And we need to thank our initial caregivers for giving us this boost in life and for all these wonderful ideas that they've passed to us. However, some of their ideas are outmoded, and we need to recognize that, and we need to make the changes and eliminate those from our lives. And this is just a matter of maturation. And as I said, it's because these beliefs manifest into our actual experiences. So to me, this is the first level of reality creation. And people that who, I don't care if they've got PhDs or how far you think they're educated, people cannot grasp this concept that your thoughts, beliefs, ideas, definitions create your outer reality. There are people that just cannot get this point. They are so busy blaming other people for their current circumstances that they don't want to get that point. Or they're so brainwashed into the system, even in the educational system, that somehow they think that this just isn't so. And it's a very interesting a demarcation line. And as I said, it is the demarcation between starting to exist in fourth and fifth dimensional reality and being stuck in a polarized world where everything's happening at random. And possibly for many of them, they believe that you have one life and that's it because they're not even clued into the reincarnation system. Okay, so to me, that's the first level of reality creation. Now, second level of reality creation, I picked up, some 10, 15 years ago from Bashar. And Bashar talks about putting positive spin on outer circumstances. And to me, this is a really interesting topic because once you get it, it blows your mind because it actually works. And it kind of goes like this. Outer circumstances do not come with built-in meanings. Okay, everything that happens is inherently neutral. I mean, it's kind of like if one guy's eating steak and another, he loves it, and the other one thinks it's garbage. I mean, the same exact event can have different meanings for different people. There are no events that have a built-in meaning. Like, people just assume that they do, or that when something negative supposedly in their mind happens to somebody else, that that's a negative. Well, it may not turn out to be a negative for that person. It's just your judgment call. And that's what we do. We place definitions and judgments on these outer circumstances, and we attach an emotional spin to them. Now, regardless of the circumstance, if you put a positive emotional spin and place a positive definition on an outer circumstance, that will turn into a positive experience. Now, it may take time, and I have challenged my ET Yoga listening audience for about 10 years now to do this, to actually log what happens. Like, make a list of some things that in your life that you would call a negative. And then start redefining those situations as a positive. Or even if you can't see any way that there can be something positive, even say that. Look, I don't see any possible way that something positive can come from this, but I just can't wait to find out what that might be. Because they'll tell you the way it works in this universe. There is no such thing as an event without two sides. It's like a coin. You got heads and tails. You got positive and negative. It's not always 50-50, but it's maybe 99-1 or 90-10. The point here being is there's a silver lining in every event. And sometimes we learn more from the so-called negative things that happen to us than the positive. And it also turns out that you can actually do reality creation, because when you're placing a negative spin on an outer circumstance, you're creating a negative experience. This is one of my biggest problems with mainstream medical, okay, this scaring of people that they have a certain disease or something and placing a negative spin initially when these things are diagnosed. I mean, the first thing that anybody needs to do if they're diagnosed with anything that even remotely sounds to them as negative is to place a positive spin on that situation. That's the first thing you want to do, because you're going to create a positive experience by doing that. And if you log the when these situations arise that you call negative, log them in a notebook. Some things you'll find within days, the positive experience shows up, and you go, "Wow, this is really cool." Now, I've over the course of time here, I don't know how many thousands of times I've done this, but it's worked every single time. So I know it works. The question is, have you figured out it works? It's a form of reality creation, and once you catch on to this one, it makes the other forms a little bit easier to do. So basically the idea here is some events, because of the nature of the event, take weeks or months or sometimes even years. But if you do this all the time, anytime you're spotting negatives and you're logging it down and you start to see how you're actually creating these positive experiences, you're going to get it. And when you get it, even Bashar says, it'll blow your mind because it actually works. So I'm calling this the second level of reality creation. Now, we're going to talk about what I call the third level of reality creation, is where there isn't an already existing event that you're putting a spin on, but you're going to be creating a totally new event, okay? Somewhat like your initial beliefs that you grew up with are creating those events, even though you're not aware of it at the time. But the point is, when you're consciously creating an outer experience, the key element is to give gratitude, thanks, and appreciation for already having received it. It's not happening in the future. It's not something you pray for that you want in the future. It's not something that is coming in the future. It's something that you already have. Because in point of fact, you already have it. It's just that it's not visible in your experience. All possibilities already exist, and what we do is we attract to ourselves the holograms that we're a frequency match for. That's how the universe works in this hologram. We're living in a hologram, okay? The hologram is kind of like living in a virtual reality computer program. It's a holographic, and it's fractal, and it's based in the energy of consciousness, but there's, like any computer program, there's a language of interpretation. The language of interpretation of the universe is belief. And that's why I call ET Yoga the yoga of belief. Because belief is everything. Even when you become self-realized, it'll be because you believe it and you become it. It's the most important thing in my opinion. Like belief. And the placebo effect is an example of how belief works. In many cases, there have actually been experiments where there were like 10 guys in the military that were scheduled for knee operations, and they prepped everybody for the operations, and afterwards they did the same procedure with everybody and then released them. And then they monitored the results, and pretty much everybody was healed of the condition, except guess what? Only 5 of them were actually operated on. Yeah, that actually happened. It's a documented fact. It's an idea of how strong the placebo effect can be. If you believe it, it is. And it's not just true in the medical field. It's true in every area of your life. Whatever you believe, that's the most common thing that you believe, what you believe to be true to the highest extent, that's what's happening in your life. And you can prove that to yourself as well. Just sit down and make a list of different areas that you're interested in. I don't know if it's money, if it's relationships, if it's whatever. Make a list of a number of topics, and then write down underneath each topic label what you believe about that subject matter. And I'll guarantee you, what you're going to find is what you believe is, if you're really being honest with yourself. And then you can see that you can change your beliefs. You know, you don't have to keep them. You go through a process of changing your beliefs. Beliefs are to me, the bottom line for one of the reasons I started up ET Yoga was because in my experience, and that's my yogic experience, is with Sri Swami Satchidananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, Sri Ramana Maharshi. Those are the three big ones. And in my experience and my teachings, they're valuable experience. They've been a lineage of information from self-realized people on the planet that told us how to do it, how to get there. This information is coming down. But one of the things that the traditional systems don't teach is a lot of daily things related to self-empowerment and what I'm talking about tonight, which is reality creation. The yoga systems typically don't teach that, even though Satchidananda did tell me once that, you know, if you believe you'll be enlightened, you will be, and that the whole world's your teacher. He knows about the power of belief, but it's not really a branch of yoga. And that's why I kind of wanted to do ET Yoga, because to me, ET Yoga is the yoga of belief. It's because belief is so powerful and so important. And if you believe it, that's what's going to happen. So in the third phase of reality creation, by giving thanks, appreciation, and gratitude for already having received it, first off, we know that giving thanks, appreciation, and gratitude puts you in balance between heart-brain synchronicity, puts you in the optimum space to do reality creation. You get in the highest space you know how to get into, and then give thanks, appreciation, and gratitude for already having received what it is that you prefer. And that's the secret of it. And now you can also go on YouTube, and you can look up Greg Braden, Braden, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. And this is where a woman from the West with an inoperable tumor goes to a Qigong center in Beijing, China, and 3 practitioners there make her tumor dissolve in 3 minutes. And I tell you, the way they do that is because they believe it. And they do a little chanting over her, the 3 of them, and the some gist of the chanting in Chinese, I guess, was already cured. That was the technique. And some people have mastered that technique. It's a very powerful healing technique, and one that I would highly recommend. Now, in the remaining minutes here of our program, I'm going to try to squeeze in a little bit of Satchidananda concerning the death journey. And as Satchidananda would say, the soul continues its journey by changing vehicles. Death is just like changing an old garment and putting on a new one. Just as you dress the body itself is a cloak for yourself. When it's old, you have to change it, so nature gives you something to suit your taste or to fulfill your ambitions and desires. The body you have now is an outcome of your past desires. In your previous birth, you had a bundle of desires that could be fulfilled only through this human body. The soul is always alive. It's immortal. It never dies. Thus, there is no death for us. None of us is really going to die. For the self, there is no incarnation or reincarnation. We are always immortal. We are never dead, and we never have to be reborn. But until we realize that truth, we seem to be coming and going all the time. We lived before, and we have lived afterward. However, we do change clothes, the physical bodies. You may ask, where is the proof? There's a lot of proof, but people don't always want to accept it easily. For example, if a baby born with some disability, a limbless or blind child, one with a tumor, born with suffering, were the first birth of a person, why should God create such suffering for one child and a fine life for another? Both are his children. Is that fun for him? Can he be all merciful and still watch a child suffer from its very birth? The child must have lived before and done something for which it is taking the reaction now. Sometimes you see a born genius, a prodigy. Within 2 or 3 years, the child plays a musical instrument with great beauty. Or another is an advanced mathematician or can read and write poetry. Where did these children get that knowledge? All of these things prove that their souls lived before. In the case of twins, sometimes you are two completely different temperaments born from the same parents within a few moments of one another. If you can believe in some life before, why not a life after? Every action has its own reaction. We do so many things now. If we don't face them in this life, we'll face them in a later experience. We are all just tops spinning about here, but it's the one player who strings the rope around the tops and spins them. We're all tops being spun with a certain length rope. The length of the rope is our past karma. If our karma is short, we finish our job in just a few rounds and simply sit down. You're given the body you need to continue toward the goal. If you want to have a nice, fast ride on a highway, you take a good, streamlined sports car. If you want to go through the jungle on a dirt road, better trade that car for a Jeep. Even a Jeep can only go to a certain limit. Then you might have to go on a pony or get down and walk. Different vehicles take you towards the same goal, which is inferior and which is superior. A sports car, a Jeep, a pony, or the legs that carry you. All are equally important. One cannot be useful in the other's place. Your present body is a vehicle that you trade in when it's time to continue with some other vehicle. If we realize the immortal principle that makes us and shapes us into different forms, why should we be afraid of death? There's no death at all. Just realize, I'm unborn, I'm undying, I'm in the beginning, I'll be in the end. That means there is no beginning, there is no end. I am the oldest of the old. Even the body, when the body is dead, I'm not dead. The body changes, but I am constant. All fears are based on the fear of death or losing oneself. If we realize the immortal principle, then there's no fear at all. We can face anything. And I think that hits that one right on the head. I'd like to now give my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And share with you quickly the Who Am I technique, where you place the thought I in the middle of your forehead and become that spot. And you can repeat Who Am I multiple times. You'll have certain experiences and feelings about that. And then when you become your full consciousness and become that spot, you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.